Where are we?
19.
Number 19.
Item 19 is an information item related to the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program and Agricultural Water Quality Grants. Monica Baricarte, our lead staff person for irrigation and nutrient management, will provide some brief remarks and introduce Michael Kahn, a representative from UC Cooperative Extension. Monica?
Yeah. Monica Baricarte here again from the Irrigated Lands Regulatory Program. And now I'm here to introduce Michael Kahn. Michael is an irrigation specialist and he's a farm advisor with the University of California Cooperative Extension of Monterey County. And he's going to present results of a phase two of a strawberry study that was funded using our PG&E settlement funds. And as you recall, he was presenting to the board the results of a phase one a few years ago. And now he's going to complete his presentation, including the results of a phase two. And here we also have a representative today from the Strawberry Commission, Jason Charrett. He wants to inform our board about the commission's efforts to and the services they are providing to their growers to help them implement efficient irrigation and nutrient management practices. And on a side note, I have a quick announcement. We just recently approved a grant also using our PG&E settlement funds awarded to an agency known as ALBA, the Agricultural Land-Based Training Association in Salinas, and they are going to provide assistance for small growers and socially disadvantaged growers in the greater Salinas Valley to help them comply with the ag order requirements and also to implement management practices. And with that, I just leave you with Michael.
Good afternoon, Chairman and board members. Again, my name is Michael Kahn, and I'm an irrigation advisor with UC Cooperative Extension. And you're going to run the slides, or I can do it? Okay. And I'd just like to begin with a few acknowledgments as I go over this presentation. I did this work in collaboration with my colleagues, Tim Hartz with UC Davis, and his grad student, Tom Bottoms. And Mark Bolda is a strawberry advisor in Santa Cruz County. So we all participated, and we could not have done this work without the strawberry industry participating and the many growers that participate in this study. And, of course, we appreciate the funding from the Central Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board. So it seemed that there had been a number of years that had gone by without a really in-depth look at how strawberry growers are managing water and nitrogen on the Central Coast. And so some of the questions we wanted to answer in this study was just how much water growers are using to establish this crop, as well as during the production season. How much nitrogen fertilizer are they applying, both pre-plant and through the season, through the production season, and are there opportunities to conserve water and nitrogen fertilizer and improve production with better management? And, of course, we also were interested to understand the water quality risks in addressing nitrate leaching. So we did not do this study in a research farm with small little plots. All the work was done on commercial fields in the Central Coast area, and that's why we really needed the participation of growers, and they opened their farms to our work. What we did was first looked at 17 fields in the first phase and another 14 commercial fields in the second phase of this work. So this is in the first year, 17 fields. In each field, we would put a flow meter on the strawberry block we were going to intensively study, and you see also a little data logger there and some soil moisture monitoring equipment, so we can monitor all the water that was applied with each irrigation through the season. And we also estimated the water use of the crop using the CIMIS evapotranspiration data, the reference data, and we adjusted that for strawberries using a crop coefficient that we developed through canopy photos of these each of these fields at different phases in the development. So in the 2010 production season, on the left is actually an estimate of the water demand of the crop based on ET, and on the right, that showing you how much water was applied relative to the ET demand. And that line going across is 100% of crop ET. So if a grower was applying exactly what the plant needs, he would be at 100%. And you see in this first year, many of the growers actually were under-applying the water. This is January through October. We had two fields substantially higher than 100% ET. And I'll get into why, you know, they were under-applying in that first year. Here's the data from the second year. Here are 14 fields. Here it averages out of, as 146% of ET. So they're still generally applying judiciously through the production season, but there are a few outliers there. One of the differences in the second season and the first season is the rainfall pattern in the wintertime. If you look at this second season just from June through October, the growers average out at 124% of ET. In other words, they're applying pretty much what the crop needs. The difference was in 2010, we had rainfall from January, February, March. You know, so growers were not applying much water in this winter period when ET is low. And when you look at the data in aggregate over the season, it comes out that they're actually under-applying ET, but it's because they had rainfall in that earlier part of the season. In the second year, you can see after January 1st, there's not much rain. So the growers were applying water to keep that crop moist because they're still establishing it. And so when you factor in that water that was applied early on in the winter period, that's why it averaged out a little higher than the first year. So we also want to understand how much water was used in establishment of the berries. So we did this in phase two in the going from November 2010 into March of 2011. And we had six fields. We monitored how much water was applied at pre-plant or actually pre-irrigation before they actually made the beds. That averaged out to 1.5 inches. And then after the crop was transplanted, that averaged out at 1.7 inches. And then post-establishment, that's essentially January through March. 3.4 inches. So in total, you know, it's a little more than 6 inches that gets you from end of October into March. Now, we did this a second year, too, with just three fields. And in that case, we didn't have the amount of rainfall we had during this period, which, you know, you saw on that diagram in December, it was a lot of rain. It was actually much lower in rainfall, and so there's probably 3 more inches used in the second year. I don't have that slide here today because of time limitations. We're also interested in understanding what are the water quality risks in terms of nitrate leaching. And we use this apparatus called a suction lysimeter. And they're essentially tubes with a ceramic cup at the end, and they're situated in the bed, in the seat, in the plant row, and we also had some in the furrow and some at the center of the bed at a depth of 24 inches. And so we could intercept leaching events by creating a vacuum pressure. So we had a vacuum system out in the field, and it just maintained a very low vacuum pressure. So when there was a leaching event, we got a sample of the leachate. So this is during the production season, and this was in phase one. We took a look at this of three different fields, and by no means are these representative of all fields, but they illustrate what was going on out there. During the production season, you know, as we go from May, June into July, you see the leaching events and the amount of nitrogen losses start to decrease. And really, because growers are not over-applying water during the production season, and the soil nitrate levels aren't very high during the production season, the average amount that we were losing was just 33 pounds of nitrogen, which is relatively low compared to the amount of fertilizer they were applying in terms of nitrogen. It's about 15% of the applied nitrogen was lost in this leachate during that whole production cycle. Now, it's a different situation when you're establishing the crop. And what one thing you have to consider is the fields we selected in phase two, we just had two fields, they were following a vegetable production system, so the grower was inheriting soils that were very high in nitrate because they're coming out of vegetable production. So they're already high in nitrate. And we used the same type of system. And in this case, back up. This is just an example of the leachate numbers that we're getting out in the first season there. And you can see that the leachate concentrations of nitrate, they start out high as you come out of May because the soil is still high in nitrate from that, you know, previous season, and then they drop down as the crop's taking up the nitrogen. And one of those fields, field two at the top, the grower is putting enough nitrogen through the fertigation system, through the drip system, that it maintains relatively high nitrate levels. But the other two fields, still very productive fields as far as yields, have very low nitrate concentrations in the leachate. And that, in fact, that one field is below the drinking water standard. So it does show you there's potential to manage strawberries very efficiently during the production season. So I wanted to continue on with the second year, where we're looking at establishment. So we're inheriting soil with high nitrate because of these two. They were both following vegetables. This is an example of one of the sites, and the range of leaching of nitrogen was between 169 and 239 pounds. This is from October into March. Okay, and you see each of those blue lines is illustrating a leaching event, and on the right is the pounds of and loss, the loading loss, and on the left is the cumulative nitrogen loss over the season there. Okay.
On that one, why is the loss so high in December?
So this is right when they transplanted. The soil is fairly high in nitrate. And so when you have a high concentration of soil nitrate, and this is also when they're applying the most water to establish the crop, you have those two issues there. High nitrate and applying a lot of water, and you have a lot of drainage. And that's what I want to illustrate in this slide here. This is the estimated drainage. So we were monitoring how much water was lost through runoff and how much water was applied through the irrigation system with overhead sprinklers, with the drip system, and we monitored the rainfall. And the difference is the, and also ET, and the difference is how much drainage we have. And you can see one of those early events was there was a lot of drainage.
Can you help me understand that a little better? I'm not sure what 10 inches of drainage means. I don't get that.
Yeah, that would be if you spread 10 inches of water over an acre. That would be 10 acre inches of water. Okay. So we just use inches. Okay. And so this is what is at risk. It's not saying that every grower does this, but it shows you that potentially that you need very careful management in the establishment. These two sites just happen to be sites with high soil nitrate. The growers also applied much more nitrogen than the average grower was applying, and they were using more water than what I was showing you for establishment with the first year. So, I wouldn't say that all growers are doing this, but it shows you the principles that they have to deal with and use very good management to avoid these type of situations. And the other issue is, if you look at crop uptake of nitrogen for strawberries, I mean, no one had really published recent data on this. And so part of the study was we actually took biomass samples all through the season, analyzed them for the amount of nitrogen that was in that crop, so we have a crop and uptake curve. And you can see it's not till we get past March you have significant uptake of nitrogen. These crops, strawberries are just getting established. There's not much nitrogen uptake. It's in March we have a lot of uptake. So the winter period and the establishment period, very little use of nitrogen, right? It's not till later on. And once we get into April, May, it's about 1 pound of nitrogen per acre per week that's being taken up. So not too much. 1 pound per acre per day. Okay, so it's not a lot of nitrogen. This is an example of the different amounts of fertilizer nitrogen the growers are putting on in 10 different sites. And in 2011, we had 10 growers that were willing to report how much nitrogen they were applied. And there's quite a bit of variation, among growers. But a number of those growers are applying fairly close to what the crop takes up, which is about, on average, 200 pounds of N. And then you have a few growers that are much higher, than what the crop uptake is. And those are the situations where you're going to end up with more nitrate leaching. If in phase one, we had a much greater pool of fields to look at, and what we found was, on average, growers are applying about 187 pounds of nitrogen during the season, very close to what crop uptake, what we estimate crop uptake is. But what you also see is big variations on how much pre-plant nitrogen they apply versus applying nitrogen during the season when the crop really needs the nitrogen. So a lot of growers traditionally have been using pre-plant nitrogen at planting, and if you're inheriting soil that's already high in nitrate, you put the pre-plant nitrogen on. It does release in a controlled fashion, but what we found was it doesn't release at a rate the plant needs it. It releases it too fast. We did some field studies whether we could produce strawberries without pre-plant nitrogen, and we did this again in commercial fields at establishment and at three sites. What we found was we generally did not affect yield. Only in site two, there was a little less uptake of nitrogen when we went to a half rate of pre-plant nitrogen. But this field was one of those fields where the grower was using excessive amounts of water for establishment. So he was leaching a lot of the nitrogen. It was a very sandy soil. And he could have fertigated through his drip system rather than using the pre-plant nitrogen. And really, we didn't see effect on yield till about June. So it could have been corrected through a fertigation event. But this other site, site 3, for example, we actually went without any pre-plant nitrogen and no effect on crop N uptake. And then when we looked at the release rates of some of these controlled release nitrogen fertilizers that are put on at pre-plant, what we find is once you get into March, about 30 to 50% of that nitrogen has already been released, And this is just when the crop is really starting to take it up. So that points to the need, if we're going to use pre-plant nitrogen and controlled release products, that they have to really match the crop's uptake curve. So with that, I think, you know, this has been a helpful study as far as learning where we need to focus our efforts and where we need to do more research and more tweaking the system to become more efficient. We've learned, you know, during the production season, growers generally are pretty good with their water management. It's really during the winter time we see them often applying much more than crop ET, which causes these leaching events. We have an issue with following vegetable crops that the residual soil nitrate can carry over and be quite high when we're establishing those strawberries. So that points to the need to test the soil and maybe avoid using further fertilizer, sort of adding to the fire there. And we have an understanding that N uptake of strawberries is really low until March and subsequently is about 1 pound of nitrogen per acre per day. And we can often reduce the pre-plant N without affecting the production. And so really the nitrate leaching and water quality risks appear to be fairly low relative to the establishment period. So during the production season, they're fairly low, but during the establishment of the crop, that's where we have the higher risk for losing that nitrogen. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any questions from the board?
Yes.
You're first, Russ. Go ahead.
Thank you. My question, one of my questions, is there pre-testing of the soil before pre-plant of nitrogen or nitrates?
Are you asking if I did the testing or?
Do you know if the farmer did testing?
I don't know what the participants did, but well, many farmers do test it.
Okay,
yes.
Well, you did do a presentation. Your party presentation was that if the ranch had been used for, say, leafy greens or some other type of vegetable that used nitrogen or nitrates, then there was some residual. And my question is, do you know if the farmer took a look at that residual before he actually applied nitrates to the berry plants?
Right. So that's a good question. In general, a lot of growers have used sort of a template approach, you know, to nitrogen management. Some test, but many have used tradition, you know, to make decisions on the rates. And what we are trying to move growers towards is testing their soil. Okay. And we do know that, and Jason will talk after me, that many growers are now dropping out the pre-plant nitrogen fertilizer because they are doing the testing. But I can't make a general statement as to whether growers are testing or not testing.
My next question is your test, you use different ranches. Did you use different types of soil? Because you said around the Salinas area?
We did this in the Pajaro Valley and in the Salinas Valley. We had a range from sandy loams to clay loam soils.
Well, the reason I ask, because then how did your response come from the east side of the Salinas Valley, which is much more sandy, compared to the Blanco area, which is a very heavy clay?
Right.
How did, were the results the same?
Are you referring to the leaching results?
Yes.
Right. So we had one site in Watsonville, and that was on a fairly sandy soil. It had a fair amount of leaching. And the other site was on a loam soil in the Salinas area, east side. It still had a high amount of leaching in the wintertime. But certainly it's a combination of the soil type and the grower's management practices that interact. these crops are usually managed so they're, I mean, strawberries, when they're being established, they can't just dry out. You can't let the soil dry out. And so the growers will irrigate in a manner to keep the soil fairly moist, whether it's a sandy soil or a clay soil.
Okay. Thank you.
Dr. Wolf.
Thank you. A nice presentation you did a couple of weeks ago.
Thank you.
At the Sustainable Ag Conference. Impact of nitrogen on the berries, is the biggest impact on berry weight or berry count per plant?
The
amount of fertilizer applied.
Right.
You know, obviously you put the fertilizer because you want to have a quality crop, but both quality and quantity. So is the impact primarily on the berry weight or on the berry count, number of berries per plant?
Well, you're asking about are growers being paid by weight or
no? The when applying the fertilizer,
right.
The whole intent of applying fertilizer
is
to have a good crop, right? And the crop is defined both in terms of quality, which is the uniformity of the berry, the size of the berry, and then, of course, the weight. So per plant, the amount of fertilizer applied, does it impact mostly berry weight or berry count per plant?
Well, it definitely impacts what we call yield, which is would be the weight.
Mm-hmm.
And what you'll see, and maybe this is what you're referring to, is once we get in the production season, the growers are very concerned about over-applying nitrogen because depending on which variety they grow, they can effectively cause the plant to be more vegetative and not flower as much if the soil, they feel, as if the soil nitrate levels get too high. So that's one of the reasons that we don't see these very high soil nitrate levels during the production season, because they are either trying to slow the plant down vegetatively and get it to flower more, or sometimes they're stressing it to slow it down because they're in a period where the market price is low and they would like the production to be higher later on. So there's a lot of different manipulations with the nitrogen management, I think, in the production season.
Okay.
And that's why you see it more careful than in that period.
The biomass nitrate count that you did, is it through petiole analysis?
No, these are whole plants that we removed. And so we accounted for the nitrogen in the vegetative part of the plant. And then the growers provide yield data, and we sample the fruit and analyze them for the nitrogen content.
Mm-hmm.
About half the nitrogen is in the fruit, and about half is in the vegetative part of the plant.
All right. Then my last question, have you worked at all with subsoil drip irrigation system?
Yes.
An application in strawberry fields possibly?
Not in strawberry fields, they tend to keep the drip system very close to the soil surface because the plants are shallowly rooted.
Mm-hmm. Unlike raspberries, perhaps? Or
Yes. Well, you will see subsurface drip being used in the Central Valley, say, in processing tomatoes, mm-hmm. where it's left in the ground for a number of years. Also consider that the strawberry production is essentially growing it as an annual crop, and they remove these irrigation systems at the end of the season. So having it down deep in the ground is a problem as far as taking it out.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you. More research down the line for you?
Possibly. We'll take a look at that and...
I mean, do you have any grants lined up to continue to work on strawberries or green leafy vegetables?
Not immediately for strawberries. For leafy greens, mm-hmm. we're definitely working in that area. We have a grant from the Fertilizer Research and Education Program currently looking at the, the fertilizer value of ambient nitrogen in the irrigation water. So we can develop an algorithm of how growers account for the nitrate in their irrigation water in terms of fertilizer value. So, and we have other projects funded through FREP to look at the uptake of nitrogen of some of the commodities that are grown on the Central Coast, like the coal crops. We're finishing that up. High-density leafy greens, working with Richard Smith, my colleague in Monterey, on that to understand how to better manage the nitrogen in those crops. So we have a lot of going on out there.
Good. Thank you very much.
All right.
Question?
Yes. Am I correct in seeing the data that in the first year there was an average of 33 pounds per acre of nitrogen lost, and in the second year, I didn't see the average, but there was a range of 167 to over 200 pounds of acre of pounds of nitrate per nitrogen per acre lost?
Those numbers are what you said is correct, except the first year, that was during the production season from May through October. Second year, we went and looked at establishment, and that would be from November through March.
Okay,
so really different phases of the crop.
All right, thank you.
Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
All right.
Jason Scherer.
Thank you, Chair Bignon, members of the board. My name's Jason Sherritt. I'm a grower education specialist with the California Strawberry Commission, and I just wanted to take a few minutes here and talk about some of the initiatives we have and maybe even answer some of the questions that that Michael raised as well. So with that said, you know, we're very aware of the research and the findings that Michael has worked on. We've also funded Tim Hartz, who collaborated on this for a number of years, in strategies for optimizing nitrogen management in strawberries. And, it's quite clear, the lessons learned, kind of where the risk areas are and where the areas of need for education, outreach, and training for the industry is. And, with that said, our board made the decision about a year and a half ago to begin investing in the development of an irrigation and nitrogen management training program for the industry. That's when I came on staff, and I initiated a kind of an industry needs assessment. We named it SWAMP, the Strawberry Water Assessment Management Project, in that we looked at what research was out there. And we also assembled a team that included Michael Kahn, Stuart Stiles of the Cal Poly Irrigation Research and Training Center, as well as Mark Los Huertos, and members of my grower education team, as well as the commission's research team. And we looked at both 18 ranches throughout the entire state, because we cover the state, and looked at, where are the challenges in irrigation and nutrient management. We did on-farm assessments as well as very detailed in-depth interviews with the growers and in some cases irrigators to figure out how best we can develop these programs and deliver them in such a way that they will be impactful and growing operations can benefit from. So we also applied for funding through CDFA. We received a grant for $225,000 that we will begin rolling this program out. The first class, which is going to focus on improving irrigation system performance in order to shift away from the use of controlled-release fertilizers, is really important that our growers can effectively manage the irrigation system. And in the past, controlled-release fertilizers have been kind of it's an insurance policy. Because if your irrigation is not performing optimally, then that's your insurance that your crop is getting the nutrients that it needs. So in order for growers to shift away from that, we're going to build their capacity to to have the highest performing irrigation systems possible. We're going to do that by working with the irrigators and working with growers at different levels, depending on what the responsibilities are on the ranch, to begin building capacity to operate these systems. So with that, we'll probably have four classes in all. The first one's going to be improving system performance. We're going to address system design. We'll have a class on fertigation, dealing with the timing of fertigation, and then we'll also have classes where we're dealing with scheduling and other issues that come up. So with that said, I'd be happy to answer any questions. We've done quite a bit of research in the area of reduced sprinkler establishment to deal with some of the issues of the excessive watering during plant establishment. We have almost 5 years of research that we've been doing on that. And, so, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Any board questions?
Dr. Wolf.
Another question.
Keeping track of your questions today, Dr. Wolf.
But I'll be very brief, Mr. Chair.
Okay.
No, I just wanted to congratulate the Strawberry Commission because, in San Luis Obispo County, for 20 years, the highest value crop was wine grapes. However, 2011 and 2012, strawberries exceeded wine grapes. However, I'd like you to know that this year, grape growers have worked very, very hard trying to regain the title.
Okay. Bring it on.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Okay.